The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Yoga is Life Radio with your host, Jim Callett. Today, Jim and his guests will help you inquire into what yoga is and how you can enhance your life with it. There are no limitations to the power inside you. Yoga is for anybody and everybody. Now, here is your host, Senior Bikram Yoga Instructor, Jim Callett.
Hello, this is Jim Callett. Welcome to our inaugural show, Yoga is Life Radio, on the Seventh Wave channel of Voice America, the largest internet radio talk network worldwide. Today I'm going to introduce the show, our warm-up. What is yoga? Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I have been teaching yoga for 17 years, practicing for a little longer than that. I am a senior Bikram yoga teacher. I studied with Bikram Chowdhury since 1996 and did his teacher training in 1997. And I have stayed very close to the system of Bikram yoga. I have been doing seminars authorized by Bikram and his headquarters since 1998. I've been faculty of his intensive teacher training. There's been, I think, 44 of them now. I've been to 39 of them. And also, I have coached in yoga champions, about 5 world champions. And I'm really happy to be doing this show. For the next 13 weeks, the focus of the show will be to talk about Hatha Yoga as a practical tool for improving the quality and longevity of your life. We're working on getting a number of special guests to the show to talk about their experiences and their yoga practice and research. We'll also invite emails from listeners with questions, testimonials, anecdotes, stories, idioms, trends, anything, etc. You can email me at yogaisliferadio@gmail.com. And in subsequent shows, we'll begin to take call-ins as well. Subjects that will come up will include a little history, current trends, nutrition for the yoga practitioner, current medical research, the growing relationship between Western science and yoga. Yoga is safe and effective alternative to drug surgery, working with traditional Western medical science, both as preventive and therapeutic curative. We'll also discuss the practical application of yoga, the techniques, safety, effective use, precautions, and reality. The mechanisms of proper yoga practice, physiological, neurological, and biochemical, yoga and athletics, yoga for and as sport. We're going to focus on the accessibility of yoga for everyone and anyone. Only in the past 50 years has this really been accomplished. Our emphasis is going to be on the very specific Hatha Yoga system known as Bikram Yoga and its contribution to this accomplishment. What it is, how it works, what's unique about it, what and where it came from. We're going to also talk about yoga postures of the Bikram's beginning yoga sequence, how they work, how to try, the technique, the benefits, the part of the body that they're addressing. Not too long ago, I read an interview with Deepak Chopra. It was in the San Diego Union Tribune. And I was moved and struck by the humility he showed when, in the article, he said about engaging his critics in debates, "I can't decide if I'm doing this out of vindictiveness, out of ego, or because I really honestly want to change the narrative and help other people." And again, he said, "I'm still struggling to influence the collective narrative. I've now gone from a great admirer of his to an even greater respect. It gave me inspiration when I decided to host this internet radio show." This won't be an academic program, rather a presentation of things to think about, inquire, discuss, how to put into practical use, practical application. To reclaim, redirect the discussion back to yoga, away from any controversy, conflict, anger, negativity, conditioned habit, to positive subjects. From copying, replacement of one thing to another, jumping from the fry pan to the fire, to giving back, going back to authenticity, the creation to creation, not telling how to live life, but the discussion of the approach to doing yoga and living life. The fresh, the new, the timely, the accessible, and the necessary. I'm going to start with a little story that you find I always start my lectures and seminars with, and this is a story that I heard from Bikram himself, Bikram Chowdhury. A lot of what you'll hear from me is, of course, is going to come from where I've gotten it from, my teacher, and all of that comes from my teacher's teacher. This is the way knowledge is passed on. Well, this is the story of the very first yogi of all time. His name was Vasudev, and Vasudev was considered the greatest yogi in history, the greatest yogi of all time. This is maybe thousands of years ago. Who knows? I'm going to use your little imagination a little here. Vasudev was basically the creator and narrator of the Mahabharata, which is the great Indian epic that goes through the entire history of humankind, every possible situation, political, romantic, psychological, emotional, family, conflict, war, politics, everything. All kinds of relationships, all kinds of situations. Anyway, Vasudev was a great, great, great yogi. At the time, in this mythological time, the pantheon of gods was led by the king of all gods, Indra. And Indra had ruled the heavens for thousands of years, eons. And Indra reached a point in his career as king of the gods where he thought, you know, I have all the wealth in the universe. I've done everything. I'm kind of ready to retire, but I'm missing something. So he went to Vasudev. He said, Vasudev, you're the greatest yogi that lives anywhere in existence. I want to learn from you. I want to learn yoga. I seem to be missing the one thing, and I think you can teach me. I know nothing about yoga. Would you be willing to be my teacher? I'll be your student. And Vasudev says, sure, I'd be happy to teach you yoga. Just come to my class tomorrow, 4:30, put your toes on the line, and we'll start with the breathing. And you pay your $10 at the front desk, and we'll get started. So Indra said, wow, this is incredible. I'm going to be your student. I'm going to learn yoga. It's affordable. It's very simple. I'll be there. So there was another great yogi, and maybe considered the second greatest yogi of all time. His name was Munidevasa. And Munidevasa was an incredible yogi. He lived on the streets, usually stood on a corner, wore the saffron robe. He taught yoga. He was a brilliant yogi, knew so much about yoga. He renounced all material wealth. He lived on just the alms and contributions of people. And Munidevasa thought, you know, I want to be like Vasudev. He's the greatest yogi. I'm always considered the second greatest. I want to learn what he knows that I don't know so I can be as great and knowledgeable and know everything about yoga like him. So he went to Vasudev and he said, Vasudev, can you teach me what you know about yoga that I don't know? Just that little bit, and then I could be as knowledgeable as you. And Vasudev thought about it and he said, okay, sure, just come to my class tomorrow at 4:30, pay your $100 at the door and put your toes in the line and we'll get started. And Vasudev said, wait a minute, $100. First of all, I've renounced all material wealth. I don't have any money. I just live on contributions from people, donations. He said, also, you're charging Indra $10 and me $100. You have to teach him everything from A to Z, from kindergarten to PhD about yoga, because he knows nothing. Me, you only have to teach that little bit that you know that I don't know. He said, why are you charging me 10 times more? It doesn't make any sense. And Indra said, well, it's true. I have to teach Indra everything. Vasudev said, you have to teach Indra everything from start to finish, from A to Z, from kindergarten to PhD. He said, but you, I have to get you to unlearn everything you think you know about yoga so then we can start from letter A, kindergarten. So 10 times longer it's going to take, 10 times more work. I have to charge you 10 times more. So I'd like to tell that story first just to set the tone for kind of clearing our ideas in our mind of what yoga is, so we can kind of start this discussion from scratch, from the beginning, so there's something fresh and new. Now, there are many lineages, lines, interpretations of yoga. They can overwhelm someone who simply wants to make use of the tools and techniques, the science of yoga, to have a good, healthy, and long life. We, or our minds rather, complicate everything. Simplifying makes things more possible for more people to be able to do, and to be able to do it consistently. So we're not going to try to get into a single definition of what yoga is, but rather an inquiry, a discussion, questioning. Everybody knows what yoga is. They have their idea of what it is. And there are many colloquial or common ideas of what yoga is, knowledge of what it is. We will provide some definitions from a unique and practical perspective. One of the 20th century's greatest speakers and writers on philosophical and spiritual subjects, Jiddu Krishnamurti, said, "A free mind has humility. Only a mind that is free can learn. To learn, not to accumulate knowledge." Yoga has been adopted by many movements throughout time, religious movements, martial movements, and our time alone in the West, with the Western introduction and fascination with Eastern thought. The hippie movement has adopted yoga, the New Age movement, academics, physical fitness movement, business movement, the consciousness movement, and yes, even politics in the name of yoga. And it's all possible because it applies or can be applied to everything, anything. But it's not, nor does it belong to anyone alone. Yet through its history, the science and practice of yoga has been exclusive, discriminating, even elitist for the few. Yoga is a process. It's not a result. It's action itself. The action of balancing, of putting or bringing opposite forces into states of balance by the action of conscious will, physical, mental, emotional, psychological, spiritual. The word yoga is a word. It's a word that represents something, usually really unexplainable. But really, that really can't be described or explained by words, only represented, like life or love. Yoga is the most natural science, truly natural science. It's a science of explaining nature so that we can use it to learn how to control our lives. Now, what is yoga? Well, we're going to explore this over the next 13 weeks. And we're going to try to explore as best as possible the totality, the completeness, the process of it. So what is yoga? Yoga is life. It's the name of the show. There are 7+ billion people in the world today. If you ask 7+ billion people what is yoga, you're going to get 7+ billion different answers. Because yoga is life, and everyone's life is unique, special. Everyone is on their own path. What we all have in common, or commonality, may be called humanity, manushyotu in Sanskrit. The underground foundation of everything, commonality, of stillness, emptiness, space, silence, connection, integration, combination, equanimity, union, balance, yoga. Yoga is life. Now, Krishnamurti also said, "What you resist ultimately conquers you. Truth is not to be conquered. You cannot storm it. It will slip through your hands if you try to grasp it. Truth comes silently without your knowing. Kind of like a butterfly. If you reach out and try to grab it, you'll never catch it. If you can be perfectly still, it will land on your nose or on the palm of your hand. And then you can see the beautiful patterns on its wings. What we know is not truth. It's only an idea, a symbol. The shadow is not the real." Now, this show, we're going to try to redirect the discussion about yoga back to its principles, to the practice of hatha yoga asana done safely, effectively, and properly for the practical purpose of helping you and everyone, anyone, improve the quality and longevity of your lives and to inspire you to a safe and consistent yoga practice. So I'm happy to be part or help to contribute to the redirection or reclaiming of this discussion. It's a show about yoga, how it addresses the fundamental questions and concerns of life. It'll focus on the practical application of yoga, proper technique, safety, effective use, precautions, and reality. The proper practice is the best, safest, most of scientific tool for improving the quality and longevity of life. I'll use I will address the most important things in life, including health, happiness, success, and prosperity, self-empowerment, research stories, testimonials, a few idioms, and inviting input from you. Yoga Life is Life Radio is broadcast every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time in the United States on the Voice America Seventh Wave channel. The real key to yoga is self-responsibility. So we're going to get into this subject a little today. Today is just going to be me introducing. Subsequent shows we're going to have, next week we're going to have a guest, and we're going to try to get some very special, interesting guests on this show to talk about yoga, their experiences, all of that. We're going to take our first break in a couple of minutes here. The way the show is formatted is we'll have about 15, 16-minute sections and with some, a couple commercial breaks in between, and then we'll continue our discussion. I said before that we have an email address that you're welcome to send email questions in or anything that you want to discuss or want me to discuss. And we'll continue. One more thing I wanted to talk to you about was before we take our break. Every human beings have created, what we've created has been created after ourselves, like computers or like the brain. It's the best, truest knowledge is self-knowledge. As we get to know ourselves more and better, what we create will be truer and truer to our nature. Now, the first question I'm going to ask is a question that my teacher, Bikram Chowdhury, always asks when he starts his talks, his lectures, anything he does. And the question is, do you want to have a good life? And do you want to have a long life? Of course, the answer to those are going to be yes. You cannot compromise yourself for anything, your health, your body, your mind, your life. There's an idiom, a Bengali idiom, that he likes to quote. If you live today, tomorrow you can tell about your father. If you die today, tomorrow your father will be dead already. The definition of yoga. Definition usually is the word union. You see that everywhere. Combination, connection, integration, marriage, balance. To take our lives in the modern world where we pretty much do a lot of damage to ourselves. We end up with junkyard bodies, screws loose brains, and lost souls. Making yoga fit that can ruin the yoga. Fit people into the balance of yoga and you balance the person, balance yourself. To have a healthy body, a strong mind, and a realized soul. This is what the tool of yoga, if used properly, can help you bring to yourself. It teaches self-responsibility. Self-responsibility means nobody's going to do it for you, but you have the power to do it yourself. With the proper use of a proper tool, you can do this. And this is going to be our exploration over the next 13 weeks. Now, we're going to take a little break, commercial break, in about 30 seconds. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on our show or the Voice America Network, or you'd like to be a guest on the show, contact me at yogaisliferadio@gmail.com. Again, that's yogaisliferadio@gmail.com. Okay, we're going to take our break and we'll be back in about 3 minutes. Thank you.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Being Here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss Being Here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane, right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to stop feeling imprisoned and start being empowered? It's time to change your way of living. Listen for Empowering Your Soul with Lisa Ouellette. We're all just getting ready to make the metamorphosis in our lives. Change can result in our highest good. If you are feeling stagnant in your life and want to bring about personal change as well as change to your environment, do yourself a favor and tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. We all hold a spiritual database, as it were, within our hearts and souls. But at times, it can be difficult to access this resource. On Akashic Therapy, Unlock the Records of Your Soul, host Amanda Romania will help you to tap into this valuable part of our subconscious. Once you've done this, you can open up your life to a far greater happiness like you've never experienced before. Become a messenger for change and a higher purpose. Tune in to Akashic Therapy, Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
You are listening to Yoga is Life Radio with Jim Kallett. To reach us, please send an email to yogaisliferadio@gmail.com. That's yogaisliferadio@gmail.com. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back, everybody, to Yoga is Life Radio with Jim Kallett. This is Jim Kallett. I'm going to give you a little bit more history about myself, give you an idea of where I come from, this perspective. For 20 years, I worked in the film business and worked on a lot of different films, different aspects of film, and pretty much wore myself out. You know, modern lifestyle and working in such an industry. It was a lot of fun, but it really kind of damaged me in a lot of ways physically. So I ended up with pretty severe pain in my neck and my spine. You know, I couldn't really work anymore. I couldn't do anything. Couldn't even get comfortable sleeping. So, you know, I tried different modalities to try to heal myself, and many of them would work temporarily, but the problem was something much more, you know, long term. So I knew I had to change my life. I'd been very athletic my whole life, running and playing soccer and football and different sports. I was a runner in college, 800 meter runner, 400 meters. And, but I never stretched. I was very tight, could never touch my toes, and I'd get injured a lot. So after 20 years of working on mixing consoles and machine rooms, editing tables in the film industry, I was pretty well beat up by the age of 39. So I realized I had to change my lifestyle and change how I took care of myself. I was basically done. I knew I wasn't going to make it probably till 60 at that rate, and I probably would hate the last 10 years of my life. So I thought of yoga, and actually I ended up first in an emergency room at San Francisco General Hospital on a 4th of July with so much pain that I couldn't even move. Even standing for the x-rays was almost impossible. So after the x-rays, I was taken into a room with an orthopedic surgeon and a young man. And I noticed he was from somewhere else. It looked like he was maybe from India or Pakistan, somewhere in Central Asia. And I asked him, he said he was from India, but he was a Western trained doctor. And he looked at the x-rays and he looked at me and he kind of shook his head a little bit and he went out. And he came back with the head orthopedic surgeon of San Francisco General, who looked at the x-ray and basically turned to me and said, "You see your spine up here? There's no gap between C6 and C7. It's gone." He said, "And your spine is not only not curved correctly, it's almost curved the wrong way. It's completely straight." He said, "This is not going to get better." He said, "Basically, you have three choices. We could do a surgery, fuse the vertebrae. They'll probably auto-fuse anyway. The surgery is risky. Also, it may or may not work, may or may not help." So the second option is we can just periodically, when you have these flare-ups, give you a cortisone shot to take down the inflammation and the pain. And he said, you keep doing that, it's not good for you. You know, it's steroid, eventually can cause cancer or something worse, and if there is anything worse. And he said, "Your third option is to do nothing. Basically, just you can wear a neck brace, do physical therapy." He said, "It won't get better, but you can try to arrest it." So I looked at him and I said, Well, that's not much acceptable choices. I can't accept any of those choices. Basically, you know, it's a death sentence. There's nothing I can do, nothing you can do to help me. He kind of shrugged his shoulders, and I said, well, you know, we're kind of wasting each other's time. I have to find something else. This is it. I can't do anything else. Those aren't acceptable. So he left, and the young doctor was still in there, and I looked at him. I said, where are you from? You're from India? He said, yeah. I said, must be something I can do. What about yoga? Because I really knew nothing about it. I tried it a few times, but I couldn't do it. I was so tight. I couldn't touch my toes. I couldn't do yoga postures. I'd hurt myself. I never felt really welcome or accepted where I went because I couldn't do it. He said, well, I could see the conflict in him between his Western medical training and where he was from, his culture. And he said, well, yeah, try it. It can't hurt. You know, at least you got to try to do something, I guess, you know. Why not? So I went out and, I got the neck brace, which I never wore, and I never signed up for the physical therapy. But I knew there was a yoga school near where I lived. I lived in North Beach in San Francisco. And often I'd walk by. There was a school right there on the corner of Lombard and Columbus. It was called Yoga College of India. And I never went in. I always saw as I walked by it. And I decided, you know, I have to go somewhere. I have to try it. I have to do something. I have to change the way I live. So I went, I called them up. And I said, you know, I've never done yoga. I can't really do it. But I have to do something to fix myself. And the woman who answered said, yeah, come in. This is a beginning class. You can do it. It's no big deal. Just show up. We have a class at 4:30. I said, do I need to bring anything? No, just come. Just show up. You'll be fine. So I came. And I realized it has something I have to do every day. I can't just do it once in a while. I have to completely change myself. And I knew there was nothing or anyone that could do it for me. I had to do it myself. So I showed up. I didn't realize that they heated the room. So when I walked in, it's a very small school up on the second floor of the building. And it's the original Bikram's yoga school in the United States, in the mainland. Bikram started his schools in the West in 1973 in Hawaii and then came to San Francisco first before he went to Los Angeles. And I'll get a little bit into history, you know, later show or later today. So I went in, and as I'm walking up the steps, I could realize it's so hot in here. What is it? They don't air condition this place? Why is it so hot? I went up because it was all one big room. I went in and I signed in, and I went into the back corner of the room. There were about 25 people in this small 800 square foot room, and the room was really hot. I don't know, maybe 110 degrees. And I was in the back corner. I laid down a little mat they gave me and a towel, and we started the class. I started doing this breathing exercise, and I started getting really dizzy. I felt like I couldn't really breathe, and we did a couple yoga postures that I couldn't. And the second one was this one called half moon. You put your arms up and you're about to bend right and left. And first I put my arms up and I started smelling something. I looked up and all the hair on my arms was singed because the heater was right there behind me. When I raised my arms, it was right in front of the heater and it basically singed the hair on my arms. So I went, oh boy, what did I get myself into? After about three postures, I pretty much passed out. I kind of found myself kind of teetering a little on my hands and knees, a little bit lightheaded, very lightheaded. And I looked up and the teacher was standing next to me, keeping an eye on me. She knew what was going on. She knew I was okay. She was continuing to teach the class. When I looked up, she looked like Shaquille O'Neal, like 7'3", 350 pounds. I thought, oh my God, what did I get into? So I went out into the bathroom and I threw cold water on my head and I was thinking, there's 25 people in there doing this, and they're all different size and shape and age of people, and they're doing this, and I can't. And I thought, this is wrong. I need to go in there. Something about this. I need to go in and be able to do this. If I can do this, I'll be okay. So I went back in, and you know, I was trying to do each posture. They do two sets of each. I probably did one of each. I was hopping around like a chicken on one leg, and sweating all over, my towel was turning yellow, all this toxin coming out. And at the end of the class, I didn't give up though. I was lying on the floor at the end of the class in the final savasana, and I was thinking to myself, wow, this is amazing. Where has this been? How come I haven't heard of this? Why isn't everybody doing this? I'm going to do this every single day. I know if I can do this, I'll be okay. And I was so excited. I ran home. And my companion, Emma, I told her all about it. She's somebody who had done yoga since she, or done dancing since she was 3 years old. And she's done some yoga, and she's very flexible and choreographer, dance choreographer, did modern dance, studied with lots of great dance choreographers. And so she got really excited thinking, oh, well, I'll come and do it with you. It's something we can do together, this yoga, because I do yoga over at City College, you know, once a week. And so she came with me the, you know, a couple days later. And we lived up in a big hill, a Russian hill in San Francisco. So from that school, which is down in North Beach, we had to walk up Jones Street. And Jones Street is this steep street. You always see the movies in San Francisco where there's car chases. And whenever the cars are bouncing down, you see Alcatraz in the background. That's Jones Street. So we had to walk up that hill after the class to where we live. And as we're walking up, Emma was ranting and raving, red-faced, angry. That's not yoga. That's, what is this, hot room? She was on and on, and she just couldn't stand it. She thought it was the worst thing she'd ever done. And I just was quiet, and I didn't say a word. So about a week later, it was 4 o'clock, and I said, we were at home, and I said, I'm going to go do that yoga class again. Would you like to try it? And she said, all right, I'll give it another try. So she came with. This time we were walking back after the class up Jones Street, not a word. In fact, as I was walking, I realized I was alone for a minute, and I turned around, and she was about 10 feet behind me. And I said, everything okay? And she was standing there, and she just looked at me and said, I've never felt like this in my life. That was incredible. I loved it. So it took her 2 classes, me it only took 1, to realize how amazing this yoga was. So I started practicing regularly. It took a while, but after about 6 months, I was completely pain-free. And I've been pain-free ever since. My whole body has changed. That was 19 years ago. And I'm in better shape than I've ever been in my life. So only a year and a half later, the two of us go to Bikram's teacher training, get certified, and decided just to change everything we did, open a Bikram yoga school in San Diego. This was 1998. We were the first ones there. Now it's everywhere. So that's a little where I came from. Now, getting back to the subject, what is yoga? Well, I told you the definition, the common definition being union or combination. Our inquiry, you know, we're going to talk about having an idea or ideas of what yoga is. But let's start fresh and clean. It's always good to clean inside out. Practicing yoga is a cleansing. It's a cleansing inside out. It's not enough to just clean the outside, the surface, the superficially clean. You have to clean bones to the skin, each internal organ, every cell, all the vital tissues, and balance all the systems. And the space is relationship. Everything internally you have to clean. So you start with yourself. Now, everything always comes back to you. I always had this idea in my head about how everything comes back to you since I was a kid. In fact, I once made a little Super 8 film about it. What's inside, going back to what's inside, looking inside, taking responsibility, self-responsibility for your own actions, for your own health, for your own life. It's easier if you have a system, one that's comprehensive rather than, you know, many systems that are partial. It's the idea of keeping your 2 feet in one boat. You put your 2 feet in 2 boats, you split yourself in half, you end up drowning in the river. Keep your 2 feet in one boat. It's sticking with something and using it to get somewhere. So the idea of fitting yourself into balance. Like I said, if you take yoga and try to fit it into a person, often that's been the idea, that you have to adjust the yoga to the person. But think about it. If the person's not in a balance, what are you doing to the yoga? If you take a person and fit them into the balance of yoga, you're going to balance the person. But the key is that it has to be done properly, safely, intelligently, and scientifically. You have to work inside out, bones to skin, starting very deep. The internal organs, the spine, the vital organs and tissues, even the osseous, bones, joints, the skeletal system, all the way down to the cellular level cells. We're made up of 27,000 billion cells. That's 27 trillion cells, each a living organism, each with an intelligence, each that breathes, reproduces, functions, creates energy, and burns energy, metabolizes. All the way down to the molecules, molecular level, the atoms, atomic level, the quanta, to the space in between. Now, you look at a human being, and we're solid. You know, we look solid, we feel solid, but we're made up of somewhere between 70 and 90% water, so it's really like we're liquid. But if you really think about it, we're made up of atoms. And what is an atom? An atom is a nucleus made up of proton neutrons that is surrounded by electrons that are so small, and they're so far from the nucleus relative to their side, and they're spinning around at the speed of light. So far from the nucleus relative to their side that the atom is actually made up of almost completely empty space. Now, if we're made up of atoms, that means we're really made up of almost completely empty space. So if we're made up of empty space, what's in that space? That space in between, what is it? What is its qualities, its processes? We're going to explore that space in a practical way. That's yoga, kind of like an astronaut or a time traveler. It starts with the body and how you use it. That space in between is relationship. We have a natural inclination to own or control in relationship, to own another, to have to start with self. You have to start with yourself, self-control. Then there's no need to control or own someone else. Ultimately, you can't anyway. To know yourself, then there's no need for other knowledge, which is conditional, conditioned. It's not real. It's based on everything that we've been conditioned from the day we're born. Our genetic conditioning, our cultural conditioning, our education, our experience, our memories, everything we learn from our families, from everything in life. It's like we create a stained glass window that we see the world through. All the different colors, and each of our stained glass windows is different. It's the way we perceive the world, but it's not the reality. It's only the perception. When you stop and you look at that stained glass window itself, and you look at all the colors and see where they came from, and you start to examine the process of how that stained glass window formed, you get to know how you perceive. You get to know yourself more. And slowly it dissolves and you can see past it to what's real. You'll know everything when you know yourself. Then you'll know how to know, the process of knowing. It starts with and it becomes observation eventually, contemplation and absorption. We look at words, ideas, not process. When yoga, the practice of yoga is a process. When you engage in this process in the proper action with the proper intent, all of these things will start to happen very organically. Now, the limbs of yoga. There are 8 limbs of yoga in traditional yoga philosophy, or what's called Vedanta. The 8 limbs are Karma Yoga, Hatha Yoga, Raja Yoga, Vedanta Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Mantra Yoga, Loya Yoga, and Unani Yoga. We're going to start talking a little bit more about this when we come back. We're going to take another commercial break. So once again, we'd like to anyone who wants to sponsor, advertise in our show, or the Voice America Network, or you just want to write in to me, feel free to send an email to yogaisliferadio@gmail.com. We'll hear you back from us in about 3 minutes. Thank you.
This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. The Mayan calendar tells us that we will be entering into a 260-day opportunity for us to engage in conscious co-creation with Great Spirit. How will we prepare ourselves for this exciting and unprecedented time in Earth's history? Peter Tong has dedicated over 20 years of his life's work to exploring that which is beyond understanding. Peter will help increase your awareness and education on this enlightening transformation in consciousness. Awakening to Conscious Co-Creation airs live Wednesdays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
We all want peace. We all desire a more meaningful life. We work hard to achieve these things, but at what avail? The key is authentic living with Andrea Matthews. Andrea will interview some of the great spiritual experts of today and will provide wisdom to help you raise your consciousness to the level of your own I Am. Your authenticity can give you miraculous gifts, but you have to know how to get there. Listen for Authentic Living with Andrea Matthews. Heard live every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
Much can be learned from the new children who embody a higher vibration and consciousness. However, the world we live in has not always been understanding of the gifts, differences, and awarenesses that they contribute. Listen for Journey with the New Children, Teens, and Adults, presented by Saturn III Light Flyers. Each week, hosts Michael and Janice Bordway, along with their son and frequent guest host Tristan Bordway, share the discoveries of parenting and being one of the new children. It's an amazing journey. Join us Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Become a member of VoiceAmerica.com. It's easy and best of all, it's free. Start out by going to our homepage or any of our channels and click register at the top. Once you've created an account and signed in, you can create your own custom library, opt into our newsletter, search by show, host, guest, or topic of interest, or browse millions of hours of content across all of our Voice America radio channels. Membership gets you more. Visit VoiceAmerica.com today to get started and tailor the listening experience to your taste.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
You are listening to Yoga is Life Radio with Jim Kallett. To reach us, please send an email to yogaisliferadio@gmail.com. That's yogaisliferadio@gmail.com. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back to Yoga is Life Radio with Jim Kallett. This is Jim Kallett. So we're continuing our exploration discussion of what is yoga. This is an introduction in our first show. As we have subsequent shows, we're going to have guests on. Hopefully we'll have some very lively discussions and talk about all the different positive aspects of yoga practice and how it helps you to have a good life and live a long life. What is the most important thing in your life? Lots of people will answer that: their family, their job, their work, their belief, their God, their religion, their health. All these things are good answers, but none of them are the real answer. The answer is in the question. If you think about it, what is the most important thing in your life? The answer is your life. Again, if you don't wake up tomorrow morning, what good is your family? What good is your life? What good is your belief? None of them are going to be there. So the first thing you have to take care of is yourself, your health, your body, your mind, your life. Again, the definition of yoga being union, combination, connection, integration, marriage, balance, equanimity. Taking yourself and fitting it into balance. Yoga is balance. It is a way to balance yourself into stillness, into moving inside yourself. All of us always looking outside, always looking for the answer, always trying to find it from someone else, a guru, a teacher, a system, a religion, a philosophy, you know, a teacher, anything. But ultimately, the answers you find are inside yourself. And practicing of yoga is putting yourself into states of stillness and balance where you can start to see when the water's clear and the mind clears. You're inside yourself. But it starts with the body, having a healthy body. And body and mind affect each other. If you feel depressed, you're going to feel physically sick. If you feel physically sick, you're going to feel depressed. When your body feels good and you're healthy, you feel good mentally, and vice versa. To have both, then only can you have a realized soul. So the eight limbs of yoga, we're going to focus in this show on Hatha Yoga. Hatha Yoga is the physical aspect of yoga. Now, I'm going to start with the idea of how much energy there is in a human body. Now, I remember when I did the teacher training in 1997, a very brilliant man came and gave us a lecture. His name is Dr. Mani Baumick. And Mani Baumick wrote a book called Codename God, another one called The Cosmic Detective. But he came and he lectured us. And this man was born in India in Calcutta, very, very poor family. If you read his book, Codename God, you read about his story. Very, very poor. His parents were in the inner circle of Mahatma Gandhi before India got its independence. So they were either always on the run or in jail. He was pretty much raised by his grandmother. Very, very poor. But he was a brilliant kid. He at one point got to spend a week with Mahatma Gandhi and learned a lot from him, you know, just being near him. And when he went to school, he was always the top in his school, the smartest kid. So always he had the highest grades, he was the smartest kid, and always he kept advancing. By the time he finished what's equivalent to our high school, he was number one. So he got a full scholarship into college and started studying physics. And again, finished at the absolute top of his class, and eventually went to the United States in UCLA and got his master's degree and PhD in physics. And it was immediate, again, top of the class, number one. So he got scholarships and fellowships, and he was hired by the Northrop Corporation to lead their team to invent the excimer laser, the practical application or use of laser technology. This is in the 1950s, I believe. Anyway, he became, from the patents, he became a multimillionaire. And, you know, he lived this very high life for a long time. But started to realize that he was missing something again. And eventually, as he retired, went back to studying yoga again and realized the connection between quantum physics, which he was an expert on, and yoga. He saw very similar concepts, which is intriguing because quantum physics is a relatively new field in Western science. Even in the last 20 years, 15 years, it's just really blossom and come into being with these accelerators that they've built in Switzerland, and the demonstration of strange things that happen at levels that are so small they're subatomic. Anyway, he gave a lecture, and his lecture was, that lecture was how much energy there is in a human body. And he started by drawing up on the blackboard, and there were 53 of us in that class, and we're all sitting there watching him for about 20 minutes writing all these formulas on the blackboard. He started with the Bose-Einstein formula that almost everybody knows, you've heard of. It's over 100 years old. E equals mc squared. And E equals mc squared is the formula for how much energy there is in 1 gram of mass. E being energy, m being 1 gram of mass. C squared, C is the velocity of light or the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. Squared, of course, means times itself. That's 37 billion plus. So in 1 gram of mass, you multiply it by the velocity of light squared. That's how much energy there is in that 1 gram of mass. Now, a human being weighs, who knows, maybe 60, 65,000 grams. So if you do the math, you realize how much energy there is in one human body. Another way of describing it would be 12,644 times the 1/3 megaton atomic bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. That's a lot of power in one human body. So he was continuing to write all these formulas on the blackboard. And, you know, British thermal units and kilowatt hours. And finally he turned around. We were all scratching our head. He turned around and he said, here's how much energy there is in one human body. You could light up Southern California from Santa Barbara to the border of Mexico. All electricity, natural gas, gasoline for cars, batteries, everything. You could light up Southern California for 10 years with one human body. That's how much energy there is in one. Now, the problem is of course, its potential energy. We don't have access to it. We don't know how to use it. But starting from the practicing yoga, you start to learn how to access that and realize it. Now, Bishnu Ghosh, Bishnu Charan Ghosh, was probably the greatest physical culturist of the 20th century. He was the younger brother of Paramahansa Yogananda, who was the second East Indian yogi to come to the United States in 1920. And Bishnu Ghosh was a great philosopher, a yoga teacher, an engineer, a lawyer. He was a very, very highly educated man. And he was Bikram Chowdhury's guru. Bishnu Ghosh used to say, "A frog born in the whale always thinks the whale is the ocean." In other words, we only realize how much power, energy we have inside us. We think it's limited to just what we can do, but it's much more beyond that. There's really no limit at all. There's a limit to the bad. What's the worst thing that can happen to you? You die. Is there a limit to the good, to love? There's no limit. Hearing the truth, seeing the future, what's going to happen in the body? Now, Bishnu Ghosh also said in a book that he wrote in 1930, "Wrong method of exercise is worse than no exercise. Just as you should know the right path if you want to go to a place, so also you must know the proper way of exercise to attain certain amount of development. Physical deformities, dyspepsia, asthma, and other nervous diseases at all ages are cured in no time." So with the eight limbs of yoga, we're going to talk a lot about Hatha yoga, which is the physical exercise or physical techniques. Hatha yoga means balance. Okay, it comes from the same root word as the yolk of an egg, putting things into balance, equanimity. Hatha comes from two Sanskrit words, ha and ta, sun and moon, opposite forces. So Hatha yoga is putting opposite forces into states of balance. So if we take that as a definition, and again, the whole approach that we're taking here is one of simplicity, not complication. We're going to take yoga, the idea of yoga, the definition of yoga, as many ideas as there are, and understand that what we want to do with it is use it as a tool, as a science, in a practical way to make our lives better. Because the subject here really isn't yoga. The subject is life. Yoga is life. So keeping it accessible and simple, let's start with three principles of Hatha yoga, asana. Asana means posture, yoga posture. Actually, it means something more than that. There's the writings of a great yogi sage named Patanjali that was somewhere between 2800 and 4000 years ago. He wrote what's called the Yoga Sutras, and it was the first real putting down and codifying of what yoga is, or the techniques or science of yoga. And when he got to talking about the physical part, he didn't talk much about it, but he put down three words in Sanskrit, sthira sukham asanam. Sthira means steady or stable or motionless. Sukha means comfortable, ease-filled, or happiness. And asanam means posture or position, meditation posture. The postures of meditation should embody steadiness and ease. So putting ourselves into states of balance ultimately becomes motionless and ease. So this is the key to practicing of yoga, is getting to these points. Now, it's not an easy process, and it's something that takes a lot of time. So we're going to take our time with this. We're not going to be in any hurry. Because things that you do quickly, and we're so used to wanting to do things immediately, never really blossom. When something, you plant a seed and you keep digging it up and moving it to another place because the soil isn't good, not enough sun, not enough water, it never grows, it never sprouts. If you plant it and let it grow, you water it, you get enough light on it. You nurture it, you sing to it, you do whatever you can, it'll sprout, it'll grow. And when it grows, it'll eventually grow big. It'll grow into a tree. It'll bear fruit. It'll drop the fruit. New trees, new plants will grow from it. And pretty soon you have a grove, you have a forest, which perpetuates itself. And this is the key to yoga. When things take time and move slowly, you have more control over it, eventually it will start to grow. So Sthirasukhan Asana means posture holding still, breathing always normal. So this is an introduction to our show. Our time is almost up. We're going to have a lot of fun these 13 weeks. Next week, join us. We're going to have a guest, and we're going to talk a little bit about teaching and learning in relation to yoga. The idea of lineage, guru, the relationship, the role of the yoga teacher, the role of the yoga student. Yoga is promoting self-responsibility. Self-knowledge is the only true knowledge and the foundation of self-realization. Join us next week. We have, as we're live each week on Wednesdays from 8 to 9 Pacific time. And, or you can, it will be repeated during the week a couple of times. And you can also check in voiceamerica.com, go to the Seventh Wave channel, select the banner for our show, bookmark it. You can always listen anytime on demand as a podcast. I want to thank my executive producer, Randall Libero, who's a senior executive producer for Voice America, Jeff Gerstel, and everyone at Host Services, Ronald Jackman, and the technical support crew. And we will see you next week, or hear you, or you'll hear me. And have a wonderful week. Until then, thank you.
Thank you for joining us for Yoga is Life Radio. Please join your host, Jim Kallett, again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. We hope to have you join us on another upcoming show.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit 7thwavenetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.